So I wonder, if you've been here over the last few weeks, you'll know that we are looking at the Lord's Prayer. And I wonder if anyone knows which line we're looking at this week. Give us today our daily bread. So what does it mean to pray, give us today our daily bread? Well, firstly, let me remind you of the last few verses of the psalm that we said together this morning. We said, this was the last slide that we said, you let the earth produce grass for cattle, plants for our food, wine to cheer us up, olive oil for our skin, and grain for our health. So this psalm, as I said earlier, is one big psalm of thanksgiving and acknowledgement that God is the one who provides for us. He provides everything that we need. If you eat meat, it is because God grows grass for the cows to eat. If you eat vegetables, it's because God gives the rain to water them. We have bread because we have grain. And my personal favorites, we have wine to cheer us up because God gives us grapes. And in the gospel reading, so that was the first reading from Psalms. And in the gospel reading, Jesus says this. He says, which one of you fathers would give your hungry child a snake if the child asked for a fish? Which one of you would give your child a scorpion if your child asked for an egg? As bad as you are, and he's saying as bad in comparison to God, as bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, the first thing that we need to remember is that God is the provider of every good thing that we need. And you might think, yes, of course, I know that. But it is very important for us to remind ourselves that God's daily provision for us is not something to be taken for granted, but that it is a gift. There's a problem with us, with the fact that we live in an affluent Western society. We might get into the habit of thinking that we have the things that we have because we've worked hard to earn them. And so we have a right to the things that we have. They're not a gift, but they're actually a reward. That's what we might think. But do you know that if God stopped the rain from falling today and the plants and the animals from growing today, we'd be out of food tomorrow, despite all our money and hard work. So it's all a gift. And in some of the other cultures today, there are people who are more keenly aware of this. Think of all the people who depend on for survival on the food that they themselves grow. They work hard to prepare the soil, to plant the seeds, to pull out the weeds. They do all the preparation work, but they cannot make the crops grow. They depend on the sun, on the rain, on the health of the plant, on the health of the soil. They plant, and what happens then is, as soon as they've planted their crops, they pray, God, give us today our daily bread. Because they know that it is a gift. And that's why Jesus' words are so reassuring. He says, as bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. So if you are a parent, then you will know that deep longing within you, that deep longing within you to give good things to your children. But that longing does not compare to the longing of God to give us good things. So that's good news, right? And you might be thinking, yes, that's true, but what about all those times that I've asked God for something and I haven't received it? So let's see what Jesus says about this. So as I said in the introduction, the chapter starts with the disciples asking Jesus, how do I pray? How do we pray? What must we do to pray? And Jesus, in response, does two things. He teaches them the Lord's Prayer, and then he tells them a story. And it's about someone who has a friend over to visit late at night, but he doesn't have any food to offer this friend. And in Middle Eastern hospitality, it's important to offer friends a place to stay, offer them food. So what he does is he goes over to another friend's house and he knocks on the door and he says, "Please give me some bread." But this friend is already in bed and says, "Stop bothering me. I'm already in bed. I don't want to get up." But the man keeps on knocking on the door and he says, "Please open up. Please give me bread for my friend." And eventually the man gets up to give bread to the man who keeps on knocking and asking. And Jesus ends the story and he says, "He will get up and give you as much as you need, simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking." So we see that firstly, Jesus teaches his disciples what to pray. He says, these are the things you should be praying for. For instance, give us today our daily bread. And then he teaches his disciples how to pray. He says, you must pray repeatedly, with persistence, persevering, without shame, with patience. Jesus says, if you keep on knocking and keep on asking, God will give you as much as you need. So interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't say why God doesn't just answer our prayers straight away. He doesn't say why God would wait with answering our prayers. So that means that we need to trust that there is a reason for it. And that can also be a source of comfort for us. If we have prayed for something and we haven't yet received it, it might mean that we need to keep on asking. The American former pastor and author Bill Hybels writes, there are four answers that God gives to our prayers. God may say no, or he may say slow, meaning that it is not the right time for the prayer to be answered and we need to have patience. Or he may say grow, meaning that something in us needs to change before God will answer the prayer. Or he may say, go, yes. There may be prayers that you have been praying for years, which God seems to not have answered. Persevere. Or you may think, this is not important enough to pray to God for. Ask him, because he is a good father. He longs to hear from us. Or you might say, I've prayed about this once or twice. God knows what I need without asking. I don't want to nag. Then ask again and keep on asking. Jesus says, if you keep on knocking and asking, God will give you as much as you need. So a second reason why we might not receive what we have prayed for is because God gives us good things that we need. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we are praying to receive things or for things to happen that are not good for us. And even though we might not like to admit it, we don't always know what is best for us, even though we think we do. When I was a child, all I wanted to do every day was eat chocolate and watch TV all day and spend all of my mum's money on toys. And I was very upset when they said no. How cruel of them. But our parents know what is best for us. And in the same way, but in a much more perfect way, God knows what is best for us. And so he only gives us what is good and what we need. That might also change the perspective with which you receive things that come into your life. He only gives us what is good and what we need. And that is so that we don't turn into petty, selfish, spoilt, self-indulgent people. We all know those people who have received everything they ever wanted, and they don't tend to be very nice people. That's why the prayer that God tells us, that Jesus teaches us, is not give us today a massive amount of cake, but give us today our daily bread. In the letter of James, it says this. James talks about prayer and he says, you want something you don't have and you will do anything to get it. You will even kill, but you still cannot get what you want. And you won't get it by fighting and arguing. You should pray for it. Yet even when you do pray, your prayers are not answered because you pray just for selfish reasons. Sometimes we need to examine our prayers and see what the motivation behind them is. Are we only ever praying for ourselves? Are our prayers always focused on more and better things for us? Are the topics of our prayers our own well-being and comfort? Seeing what other blessings we could possibly squeeze out of God. We are God's children and He loves us. And what He is supremely interested in is the kind of people that we are becoming. In our relationship with God, we can often become too concerned with whether we are doing the right thing to prevent Him from being angry at us. We can sometimes have a very mechanical view of our relationship with God. If I say the right words, if I do the right set of actions, then God will be pleased and I will get what I want from Him. But God is not interested in our ability to tick some arbitrary boxes. He's not interested in our ability to jump through hoops. He's interested in the kinds of people that we are. So He doesn't simply want us to pray like this, "Oh Lord, please eradicate poverty. Amen." He wants to know if we, like Him, are the kind of people who notice the poor, who have concerns of the poor on our hearts, who give generously so that people can have food and clothing and housing, who pray to God and say, "God, please show me what I can do to help alleviate poverty for others." Even though the same prayer may be being prayed in both situations, they are prayed from a different heart. This was the core of the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees. No one knew better how to pray than the Pharisees. No one prayed as much as the Pharisees. But they were mechanical prayers. They were prayers for the sake of ticking boxes. They were prayers that were said in order to appease God. "God told me to pray for the poor, and I just did it. Tick." God doesn't care if we say the right prayer if it doesn't come from the right heart. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we do not pray for the right things or with the right heart. And if you want to pray for something, but you know that your heart is not right, then say that to God. Since Teresa of Avila had a completely excellent prayer, which is this one, she said, "Oh God, I don't love you. I don't even want to love you, but I want to love you." So let's be honest in our prayer. A third reason why we might not receive what we have prayed for is because God gives us what we need when we need it. After all, the prayer is, "Give us today our daily bread." It is not, "Give us today all the bread we need for the rest of our lives." Do you remember the story of the Exodus? The Israelites who are in the desert. God has led them out of slavery in Egypt. They are in the desert. They have no food to eat. They cry out to God. And God gives them bread which falls down from heaven. It's called manna. And manna means, "What is this?" Because they wake up in their mornings, they go out of their tents, they see this bread on the floor, and they say, "Manna, what is it?" The Bible says it tasted like wafers made with honey. And then God said to them, He said, "Every day again, you must collect your daily bread, your daily manna, only enough for one day at a time, except on the sixth day, where you must gather twice as much as the other days." And so some people, of course, didn't do that. And some people collected lots of bread on the first day, but then they found that when they looked at it the next day, it was full of maggots. Why do you think that God is interested? Why do you think this is important to God, to give us things at a regular interval, to keep on giving us things instead of giving us everything we need in one go? Why daily bread, weekly bread, instead of bread for a lifetime? What is it supposed to teach us? Well, imagine how the Israelites may have felt when the manna first began to fall. They were in the desert. They were very hungry. They may not have eaten for a few days. So you can hardly blame them that they thought, we have this bread now. We better get as much as we can. We don't know when it will come again. You can't blame them. They weren't going to take any risks. They weren't going to be foolish. But that's exactly what God wanted of them. He wanted them to trust Him, to trust Him daily for their provision, to every morning again pray to Him and say, God, if you do not provide for me today, I will not survive. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are stating that we trust God completely to provide for us everything we need for that day and every day again. We're praying and saying, God, all I need is enough for today. I do not need it from you for tomorrow, because I will get that from you tomorrow. I trust that I will receive from you what I need. And you know, that's really quite a hard prayer for us to pray. You might know Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian. She helped to hide Jews in the Second World War. And she tells a story of a conversation that she had with her father when she was a little girl. Daddy, she said one day to her father, I'm afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Tell me, her father wisely responded, when you take a train trip from Haarlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? Do I give it 3 weeks before? No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train. That is right, he replied, and so it is with God's strength. Our wise Father in heaven knows when you are going to need things too. Today you do not need the strength to be a martyr. But as soon as you are called upon the honor of facing death for Jesus, he will supply all the strength you need just in time. Corrie says, I took great comfort in my father's advice. Later I had to suffer for Jesus in a Nazi concentration camp, and he indeed gave me all the courage and power I needed. So praying, give us today our daily bread, is a prayer which expresses deep trust in God. We are saying, I trust you, so I won't worry about tomorrow. I trust you, so I don't need all the answers to all my questions. So when we pray this, we need to remember that God is the provider of every good thing we need. He knows what is best for us. And he will give us what we need when we need it. And at the same time, he wants us to keep on coming back to him with our requests. He wants us to keep on knocking and asking, because he is our good father. Just as we close, there's a story in the Gospel of John where Jesus feeds a group of at least 5,000 people. And he does that with only a few fishes and a few pieces of bread. And everyone who witnesses that miracle, everyone who partakes in it, is completely amazed. And later on that day, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the miracle. He says, God wants you to have faith in the one he sent. And the disciples reply, what miracles will you work so that we can have faith in you? What will you do? For example, when our ancestors were in the desert, they were given manna to eat. It happened just as the scriptures said. God gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus told them, he said, I tell you for certain that Moses wasn't the one who gave you bread from heaven. My Father is the one who gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread that God gives is the one who came down from heaven to give life to the world. The people who heard him said, Lord, give us this bread. And don't ever stop. Jesus replied, I am the bread that gives life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So if we think about the function of bread, it nourishes us, it feeds us, it helps us to grow, but more importantly, it keeps us alive. We need it to stay alive. Without it, we die. Bread is a symbol of one of the most basic needs we have in order to stay alive. And what Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples here is that they have misunderstood the miracle if they think that it is simply about God's power and God's ability to feed lots of people with bread. Of course, we need bread to stay alive and to thrive. But bread, the bread that we have here, is only a symbol, a picture of the true bread of life. Have you ever thought of that? That God invented bread simply as a metaphor to help us to understand our need for the real bread of life, which is Jesus. Because it is possible for us to have all the bread that we need, but still starve for lack of the true bread of life. If we receive everything that we pray for from God, but we do not realize that the only real thing that we need is the presence of Jesus in our life, then we will starve. Jesus says people who eat bread eventually get hungry again, but no one who comes to me will ever be hungry. The good things we ask God for have the ability to satisfy us for a little while, but they will eventually always leave us wanting more. Our hunger can only be fully satisfied in Jesus Christ, who is the true bread from heaven. And that is what we remember, and that's what we act out every time that we take communion. Jesus says, "My flesh is the life-giving bread that I give to the people of the world." And it's to the extent that we really realize that, to the extent that that is true in our lives, to the extent that we can say, I can go without bread if I have Jesus. When I have Jesus, I have all I need. To the extent that that is true in our lives, that that is true in our prayer life, true in our relationship with God, that will truly fuel our relationship with Him, will teach us everything we need to know, will teach us how we should pray. So let's take a moment just to think about that. Amen.